Welcome to Courtside, everyone, a discussion of the post-election litigation brought by Donald Trump. It is day 50, 5-0, after the election. The litigation count stands at 1 out of 60, 6-0. That is one case that Donald Trump has won, and it didn't get him a single vote. Things continue to go very poorly for Donald Trump in court. The big news tonight is the Supreme Court of the United States, and it's about that case, the big one. Remember, this is Rudy Giuliani's suit that he filed a few days ago from Pennsylvania in the Supreme Court. And it's actually three different cases. He rushed to the Supreme Court a few days ago claiming emergency, emergency. The court must hear these three cases. Now, these three cases were decided weeks ago, so I don't understand what the emergency is all of a sudden. But he asked the Supreme Court to set a briefing schedule for December 23rd by noon, and Pennsylvania's brief to come in soon after that, and everything to be decided by January 6th. Well, the Supreme Court did act today. They set a briefing schedule, and Pennsylvania's brief is due January 22nd, 2 days after inauguration. In other words, they're not at this point having any of this Giuliani nonsense. Otherwise, a new suit was filed, I kid you not, against the Electoral College by the Trumpistas. This might very well be the dumbest lawsuit I have ever seen in my life. It claims that every election in United States history is unconstitutional. Now look, if you believe that, why didn't you file the lawsuit before the election? You just wanted to see who won under the flawed constitutional methodology and then file your suit later? And even then, like, you knew you've lost for 7 weeks. What are you doing filing your suit on like day 49 after the election or day 50 instead of before? This thing is a joke through and through. Now, Rudy also tweeted today that the Arizona legislature was meeting to cast a new slate of electors. But it turns out that the Arizona legislature is out of session until January 11th. January 11th. So this meeting of the Arizona legislature turns out to be a few guys at the Four Seasons and not the Four Seasons Hotel. And, you know, while we're at it, props to whatever group of teenage guys was hanging out in front of Four Seasons landscaping and convinced Rudy Giuliani that they are acting as the Arizona legislature. Tonight, in one big thing, we have 3 hours or so left of Bill Barr's tenure as Attorney General of the United States. And Donald Trump is making the most of it with a new raft of pardons for winners like Paul Manafort and Jared Kushner's dad. I kid you not. Evidently, if you want a pardon from Donald Trump, you've got to be one of three things: a Republican, a war criminal, or a turkey. You also have to be white and male, because no one else, I guess, counts in the White House. So before Bill Barr leaves us, I want to spend a minute or two reminiscing about the good old days of Bill Barr. Remember when he so lovingly distorted the Mueller report, omitting Mueller's key conclusion that I could have indicted a president, but I couldn't here because he's sitting, and sitting presidents can't be indicted even when they break the law? Remember when he omitted that important conclusion from Mueller? So beautiful. And who among us can forget those totally even-handed, graceful acts of mercy that Barr was behind for upstanding people like Roger Stone or Michael Flynn or Dinesh D'Souza? I mean, you ever hear of Martin Luther King or Abraham Lincoln or Maya Angelou? Bigots! Remember that amazing time the White House was a protest zone over Black Lives Matter and Bill Barr wanted to tear gas us all? I mean, I thought that Pete Yoren's fog machine was the best until I saw that beauty by Barr. So very legal, so very cool. There is only one word for Bill Barr, and it's disgrace. That's it. He will go down as the worst attorney general in our lifetimes, probably in the history of the country. The most sacred duty you have as attorney general is to pursue the even-handed administration of justice. And I can tell you, every time I'm privileged to walk into the Supreme Court to argue a case, I see those words and I always look up at them emblazoned on the top of the Supreme Court. Equal justice under law. That's the duty. That's the mission. Barr will go down as someone who weaponized the Justice Department, not for equal justice, but for his friends and his president's friends. And that is, I guess, the best way to understand that is to contrast it with other attorneys general. So my first attorney general, Janet Reno, she appointed something like 7 independent counsels while I was there. She didn't say, oh, Bill Clinton is my friend or he appointed me or anything like that. She looked at the law and did what she thought was right. And, you know, John Ashcroft, for all the criticism he got, remember he at his hospital bed rejecting Dick Cheney's view about spying on United States citizens, perking up, you know, in the midst of sedation and all sorts of things. But for me, let me just tell you one story that I think so illustrates what I think Bill Barr is not and what the traditions of the Justice Department are. So in 1993, the top prosecutor in Washington, D.C., who's called the United States Attorney for D.C., that's a presidential appointment. Here it was Bill Clinton making the appointment. And that prosecutor got evidence that Bill Clinton's key ally, Dan Rostenkowski, who was chairman of the powerful Ways and Means Committee, had committed some crimes. That United States attorney did not flinch and say, Rostenkowski's really important to Bill Clinton. Indeed, he's kind of the linchpin for the health care plan that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were trying to pass. He prosecuted him with the full extent of the law, and Rostenkowski was convicted, and the health care plan went down. That United States attorney did not get punished for it. In fact, he got promoted. He got the number 2 job at the Justice Department after that, the Deputy Attorney General. That guy's name was Eric Holder. That's what the country is all about. Even-handed, non-political administration of justice. And that, fortunately, is what the country is about to return to in 28 days. I'll see you tomorrow.